Oh, turn with me to Colossians 1. I thank all of y'all for coming out for the conference. It's not easy to travel in this eon, especially with our gas prices the way they are. I don't understand how George Bush keeps rising those gas prices, but somehow he does it, because it can't be anybody else's fault. It's funny how those to blame. I had gum yesterday. I'm getting rid of it today. I should have went here, Zender. Well, thanks for coming out. I really appreciate it. We all appreciate it. It takes time out of your everyday lives, but you know, this is a priority. God has chosen you before the disruption of the world to believe. And we should act on that belief and that desire to learn. We really should. Let me begin in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be here together today and this weekend to have a fellowship and some great discussion. And it's just wonderful getting together with other believers of similar beliefs and faith. It's not a denomination or anything like that. It's just friends who have an interest in learning about you, brothers in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ. And for that, we are so thankful. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. Just titles. Okay, I'm going to stop at the start of the top of the page. And transports us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we are having the deliverance, the pardon of sins. We are pardoned of sins, by the way. I don't know why they say that we're not, but we are. Who is the image of the invisible God, firstborn of every creature. For in him is all created, that in the heavens, that on the earth, the visible, the invisible, whether thrones, lordships, or sovereignties, or authorities, all is created through him and for him, and he is before all, and all has its cohesion in him. And he is the head of the body, the ecclesia, who is sovereign, firstborn from among the dead, that in all he may be becoming first. For in him the entire complement delights to dwell, and through him to reconcile all to him, making peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, whether those on the earth or those in the heavens. That pretty much covers everything as far as being created. Visible and invisible. All sovereignties, lordships, and authorities. Yesterday, Clyde pointed out a lot of things about the difference between the Father and the Son, and titles came up. But are they just titles? Or is firstborn just a title? Is the Son just a title? The Father, is it just a title? Or does it have the junk in the trunk, so to speak? Does it have clout? Is there something really backing it up? Or is it like an honorary degree? You know, you see these folks on TV, you know, they maybe went to war or donated a lot of money to a college, and the college gives them an honorary degree for getting up there and giving a little speech. You know, some people work pretty hard to get a degree at these schools, right? And they're just getting one because they, you know, gave a little money and, you know, gave a speech or did something great. But they didn't go to school. They don't have the junk in the trunk, so to speak. They didn't go through it like everybody else has to do, and pay all the tuitions, study all the books, take the time. Are these titles like honorary degrees? Just because he's God, he can just take any title he wants? Or is there some meaning behind the title? Last night during questions and answers, I pointed out, you know, who is the Son? Was he just the Word before he was born of Mary? We all know that he existed before he was born of Mary. You know, I know some denominations out there, maybe Jehovah's Witnesses or something. He was just a nice guy, you know. They did the right things. No, he existed before Mary. I mean, before he was born of Mary, yeah. 1 John 4:9, it says, 7, it says, "Beloved, we should be loving one another, for love is of God. And everyone who is loving God is begotten of God and knows God. He who is not loving knew not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God among us, that God has dispatched his only begotten Son into the world, that we should be living through him. In this love, not that we love God, but that he loves us, he dispatches his Son, propitiatory shelter." I can't ever say that word. "Concerned with our sins." I believe he had the title of Son prior to Mary. It did not say that he came to the world and became the Son. It says that the Son was dispatched. So he was the Son when he was dispatched. And he was dispatched before he was born of Mary, I believe. Right? So I think he had the title of Son before then. Hebrews 1:1-4, I'm not going to read it. It talks about how he is the effulgence and the emblem of God. When you look up at the sun, this is what my understanding of effulgence, and I don't know the Greek word, but this is my understanding of the effulgence. Effulgence is when you look at the sun, you don't actually see the sun itself. You see the light from the sun, right? That's the effulgence of the sun. You have to have special telescopes and filters and stuff like that to actually look at the sun, right? So he is the effulgence. He is what we see. When we look towards God, that is what we see. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the emblem. What was that Greek word, Clyde? Ica. But has he always existed, or was he created? Zender pointed out Revelation 3:14, God's creative original. It's kind of an odd translating of it, but literally in the Greek, it says, "the original of the creation of the God." The true and the original of the creation of the God. But yet, is that just another title? Is there something behind it? I believe there is. I believe we find that answer in Colossians 1, 4, 1 that I read, Colossians 14 through 20. "That he is firstborn of every creature, for in him is all created, that in the heavens and that on the earth, the visible, the invisible, where the thrones," and he goes to that list, "and all has its cohesion in him." But is it just a title, or is there something backing it up? Is there something physical and real? Something that earned, did he earn that title? Does he really deserve it? Or does he get it just because he's the Son of God? Just because he's in the image of God? Is it an honorary degree? Now, there's some strange usages, especially in the Old Testament, that has to do with, uses the phrase, firstborn of all creation. You know, most of the New Testament occurrences are pretty simple. That's my firstborn. It literally means what it means. Exodus 4:22, Israel... Pharaoh is told, "Let my children go. Let Israel go, my son. He is my firstborn." How can a nation be a firstborn? That's a good question. As we know, Israel, the name Israel, came from Jacob, who wasn't a firstborn, was he? But he stole it. Esau sold it to him, gave it to him for a cup of porridge. Or whatever it was. And then he tricked his father, Isaac, and told him that he was Esau. I mean, he just don't understand all this lying stuff, and then he ends up all right. But he lies to Isaac. He says, "Yeah, I'm Esau," and he blesses him. And so all the firstborn stuff comes on him. Esau lost his birthright, but yet still they were brothers, right? And that was a legal thing. So Israel himself, Jacob, did become the firstborn. It was also the birth of a nation. They are my firstborn. They came out of Egypt, just like his son. Out of Egypt I called my son. Real title. A real title. And can you think of any other nation prior, or really since Israel, that God has primarily dealt with? Who did he give the law to? United States of America? The Hopi Indian tribe? No. Egypt? No. He gave it to Israel. The first. Brought forth first. That's what it means. Brought forth first. They were brought forth. They were brought out of Egypt first. Clout. It's not just an honorary degree. Something physical to it. In 1 Chronicles 26, Shimri, or whatever, Shimri, he was made chief by his father and firstborn. We don't know why, but it happened. So it changes, but yet he was still a brother. He was still a son of the father. He wasn't adopted. He wasn't a slave. Jeremiah 31. This one really threw me a curveball. The father, he said that he was the father of Israel, and Ephraim was his firstborn. Bullinger says that this is a figure of speech. Synecdoche. I believe I pronounced that right. I had Tony tell me like 3 times. But still, even though it's a figure, you've got stuff backing it up. Israel was really a nation. They became his son, and the firstborn was actually a tribe of Israel, Ephraim. It wasn't the Canaanites. It wasn't something else. It wasn't just something made, just throwing titles around. Here, you want a title? Here, go. There's something backing it up. A physical credit. I believe the firstborn of creation has truth to it. Just like the firstborn from among the dead. It says sovereign, firstborn from among the dead. Same phrase right there, just within a couple of sentences of each other. Firstborn of creation, firstborn from among the dead. And if you don't believe that he was firstborn of creation, brought forth first of creation, in other words, part of creation, then you got to wonder, do you really believe that he was dead? Do you really believe that he was firstborn from among the dead? Now, we know we have Lazarus and a couple of people that were resurrected, but they went on to die. Christ, when he was resurrected, he was brought beyond death. He was vivified. He will never die again. He's not going to stub his toe or get a splinter. That's going to hurt him. You know, he is vivified. Firstborn, real true firstborn from among the dead. The first. I liked what Tony brought up yesterday from Psalms 22. He wakes up and he says, "You have answered me." Unfortunately, we didn't have any cameras in there at that time, so we can't prove it, but that was next in the line of thought when he died. I think it's a very logical conclusion. "And you have answered me." But why would he say, "You have answered me," if he didn't really die? Let's say, for example, if some of the teachings out there, like the Trinity or modalism, they teach that he died, only his body died. Why would he wake up and say, "You have answered me"? Wouldn't he say that when his conscious spirit, according to these doctrines, went back to God, and they were hanging out for 3 days. You've answered, you're going to answer me, right? You're going to bring my body back, right? Think about it, people. Was he really dead? And what risk? Why was he so scared? Why did he cry? Why did he pray, glots of blood? Pass this cup from me. It was only his body. Think of the glory he had before he was born of Mary. He was rich and he became poor. Let's say if he messed up and his body wasn't resurrected. If he was still alive, this was no big deal. He goes right back to his riches. It's like a millionaire losing a couple of dollars. Really, I can't answer questions right now. I've got time. He had a risk, a real true risk, just like us, of really losing it all. I'm talking about not existing anymore. Not just his body, but he would be blotted out, period. Just like an atheist believes what happens to us. You're dead, gone. Really death. Why? How does that connect to us? Because we go through the same thing. He has to go through the same thing. If he didn't really die, then how does that really connect to us, that who we really die? We don't die and go to riches, do we? Back to riches that we had? We didn't have riches before. He had risked it all. Real death. And he had faith. And he risked it. And the Lord had answered him. God had answered him and resurrected him. So he was really firstborn from among the dead, in which we will all follow. How could that be if he existed all along? How could the God die? We always ask that question. But if he had existed all along, how could he really die? I mean, really, I asked that question with legitimacy. I mean, how could he really die if he had no beginning? So I believe that helps out with the firstborn of all creation. He must be part of creation to be the true firstborn of creation. If he is not part of that creation and he created it, then he would be the Father. He would be the Creator. He was given a task, which firstborns are often given to do. He's our Kingsman Redeemer. Tony's given some very good talks on the Kingsman Redeemer. The responsibility of the Kingsman Redeemer to come. A real relative, not just somebody with the title. A real relative. Not a butler, not a nanny, not a doula, not a slave. A Kingsman Redeemer is a real person. A real relative. Kinsman, that's what kins means, right? He's my kin. That's what we say. Well, we don't really say that in Georgia, but maybe West Virginia.
Be honest.
He's connected with all creation. He's connected not just with man. He's the savior of the birds. He's the savior of your puppy dogs at home and your kitty cats. Well, I don't know about cats, but he's the savior. He's also the savior of the visible and the invisible. Those in the celestials, those in the terrestrial, and those in the subterranean. He saves all them. But he must be part of that creation. Now, there's a special emphasis put on man because he did come as a man. He created us in his own image on the sixth day, right? That's kind of like how he's going to eventually save all mankind, but especially of believers. He's going to save all creation, but he's especially saving mankind, right? Special emphasis on mankind. I didn't think about that until this morning. Many of you know that my mother's hearing impaired, deaf. I'm halfway there, it seemed like sometimes. But also, the oldest in my family, the firstborn in my family, he's, and it's not a politically correct term, and I really don't care, he's mentally retarded. That's the term we've always used growing up. I know it changes and this like this, but he's the firstborn of the family. And I can think about all the times that I've gone down, especially since my dad died. I would, you know, pork out my own money, go get him, and boy, it was like I was his kinsman and redeemer. The youngest in the family, right? But I remember this morning when I woke up, and I'm not going to pull a Clyde. My mother being hearing impaired after I was born, was washing dishes or something, and I was in my bed, in my crib, crying, bawling my head off apparently. And my mentally retarded brother, he, you know, he's about like a 3 or 4 year old, I guess, mentally wise. He came and he saved me in his own way. He became the kinsman redeemer, the firstborn. I don't remember it, but I was just a baby, but my mom told me about it, and I believe she took a picture. And my brother is my brother. He's born of the same parents as I, both parents, and we're related. There's that real, true physical tie. We have that real, true physical tie with not the Father, but with His Son, Christ Jesus. Firstborn from among the dead and the firstborn of all creation. I believe that He was literally the first creation, and all that came through God. There's other verses I can point out. Well, what is that, Romans 11:36? Yeah, all is out of God. Does it say through?
1 Corinthians 8:6, out of God through Christ.
Oh, yeah. 8:6. We are aware that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there are no other God, there's no other God except one. For even so be it that there are those being termed gods, whether those in heaven or on earth, even as there are many gods and many lords, nevertheless for us there is one God, the Father, out of whom all is. Christ Himself, the Son, the Word, everything is out of Him. And we for Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all is, and we through Him. But not in all is this knowledge. It's not just a title, folks. It is a title. I'm not sure, 100% sure, if things, these titles will pass. I think probably so when God becomes all in all. We say all in all the time, but we don't always know what all in all means. We just know that, we just know that all is going to be included in it. And that's the end result. We don't have any idea what it all entails. We don't. But all I know is that He is my Redeemer, true Redeemer, and He is the firstborn of all creation, and that means all creation. And that means He is part of that creation. And that gives Him the clout. That gives Him the physical tie. That gives Him the true title. It is not an honorary title. In Christ's name, thank you.